So I'm planning to make this a rather brief presentation, leave lots of room for questions and a discussion. Mary mentioned, the two people that I'll be talking about here, one of them is actually giving a presentation simultaneously, and couldn't simulcast that one. She's also doing a place-based study at the very moment, but the one that I'm actually talking about briefly here is actually one that was in the 2013 March, I believe. The early publication was February. I see this as a trend. There's a huge amount of place-based work going on in the alcohol field. I think also the drug field. One of these papers deals with both alcohol and drugs. I think that we're going to see with a lot more. This is something that our NIH, IC, NIAAA is putting quite a lot of emphasis in through their alcohol policy information system. I think it's something that I think everybody here will appreciate has tremendous involvement in policy and in reduction of disparities. So the two papers, first is by my colleague Kate Carrick-Jaffe, and the second is by my other colleague Rob Lipton. Kate is actually, by way of disclosure, one of the scientists in my center, and Ron Lipton is now with the state of California, and they refused to travel him because he only took his job a few months ago. Turning to Kate's paper, it's a state-level paper, and it has a very interesting focus on the issue of inequality, and she operationalized it. We heard earlier about the Gini coefficient. She operationalized it with the Gini coefficient by state, but also by the disparities between incomes of blacks versus white and Hispanics versus white. And I think you can see that that has a somewhat different aspect to it. The one is kind of an overall one, and the other is specific to a kind of ethnic-racial disparity. And also looking at the geographic aspect, our national data sets are geocoded to the address level. So also looking at neighborhood disadvantage as a factor in the states. I've more or less mentioned that already. We use the national data sets. I've already mentioned this, and it was an HLM-type analysis. The key findings was that inequality, as measured by the poverty ratios, was actually quite associated with both heavy drinking and also it's really clear that the problems really are significantly different for blacks versus whites in terms of the income issue. And I just want to show you the way the moderation goes here. You can sort of see that in general, and we see this a lot, there's actually lower levels of drinking among African Americans, but those who do drink a lot and have problems often are in places with high disparities. And I think this is really getting at sort of some of the racial and stigma issues that and poverty, frankly, as well. That all mingle in those situations. Here are some of the obvious conclusions that I just mentioned. One of the issues, the last one here, is that we're pretty clear that a lot of this is structural, which is the case. But because some of the context is around sort of problems in an environmental sense, interactions with the environmental sense. Some of the results may actually have to do with policing strategies that actually selectively often disadvantage people who are disadvantaged. So that's an area of future interest. So turning to the Lipton paper, this is a really much more micro paper. It's in Boston, and it uses a lot of archival data, and it analyzed geographic and environmental versus individual factors, and identifies areas of high and violent crime. Here is some of the data used and the spatial modeling, which is quite sophisticated. And it looks at alcohol outlets and drug markets as well as violence. So those are the kind of three areas that it looks at. So one of the very interesting things about this is relative to other block groups, those in the highest ones, and a fairly large number of them, were found to be poorer, not surprisingly. The third variable, by the way, was female households. And as we know, and as this demonstrated, there are much higher levels of alcohol outlets in these areas. So, you know, the industry views this as simply responding to demand. One can have a different perspective, perhaps from a public health sense. And many cities have the possibility to regulate this with local zoning, and many cities are not really doing the job, quite frankly. So that's an area where there needs to be a lot of work. And this paper is notable in having some very nice geographic diagrams. This one happens to be violence density. Actually, the colors came out in a rather strange way here. They're much better in the actual edition. There are hot spots. And I'm only going to show the one other, which is the outlet density, and actually many of the hot spots do, in fact, overlap. But I want to mention that the same is true, actually, for drugs and drug trafficking, as defined here. And I want to leave you with the fact that the place-based factors really contribute a much more comprehensive way of understanding than when you consider simply the individual results. So, thanks very much, and I hope this is available to you after the event, and you can get in touch with them if you wish. Mm-hmm.